From WKAR at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports with Al Martin.
Johnny Peralta lines one to right field for a base hit.
Miguel Cabrera, game-winning walk-off home run.
The champagne is flowing in the Tigers clubhouse.
I would have never, ever thought that I would have been in the Michigan Hall of Fame as a kid when I first picked up a basketball on 512 Gray Street in Flint, Michigan.
Thomas drives from the left side, goes up and banks it in. Jasmine Thomas.
Just the joy you get from watching like a JV wrestler getting his first match ever. That makes it worthwhile as a coach.
It's a fake. Bates is going to throw.
Hello, ladies and gents. It's Tuesday, and I hope it's a productive Tuesday for you all. Glad you are tuned into Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin, and we have another great show for you on this beautiful June 4th, 2013. Today, as always, we have a lot of things to cover. The Diamond Classic back in action yesterday, and let me tell you, both of these games were classics. A former Spartan running back makes it official in the NFL, and LeBron James and the Miami Heat make it look easy as pie last night. We also continue our discussion on the decline of black baseball players over the years in Major League Baseball. You don't want to miss this show. Current Sports starts right now. Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Again, before we kick off the show, a big thanks goes out to all of you. That's right, all of you out there who have been tuning in to your radios, listening faithfully day in and day out to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Whether you're streaming it on the internet, we want to thank you for all of your support. Be a part of the hands-on discussion each and every day. Follow me on Twitter at AlMartinWKAR, like Current Sports on Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports, or even email me at AlMartin@WKAR.org. Hit us up, ladies and gents. We want to hear what's on your mind. So yesterday, we had the pleasure of welcoming Leland Stein to the show. Leland Stein is sports journalist over at the Michigan Chronicle. He helped us kick off our discussion as to why black baseball players have declined over the years in the major leagues. Now, he cited reasons such as lack of youth baseball programs in urban cities like that of Detroit and socioeconomic issues. Now, thank you for everyone that called in to the topic and expressed your opinions on the topic. We have Terry Foster with us right now. Terry is an American sports columnist and radio personality in Detroit. He is the co-host of Valeni and Foster on WXYTFM The Ticket with Mike Valeni, and recently just wrote a book called 100 Things Tiger Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Terry, glad to have you on Current Sports. Welcome, man.
Yes, this is my debut. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, your debut on the show. So, Terry, now we're going to dive into your book in just a moment. But first, when you look at the game of baseball and see that the studies found that only 8.5% of the players on the 25-man roster on opening day in the MLB were African-American, and that several teams, including the world champion San Francisco Giants, had none, what goes through your head?
Well, it goes through my head that, you know, baseball is not a priority in our community. And I think baseball has done a number of things to try to drive the numbers up. But I have done several stories on this subject, and when I look at the grassroots level, there's just not interest. Mm-hmm. And I talked to some boys the other day, and they said, you know, baseball is viewed as a white man's sport. Mm-hmm. And when something gets that stigma, it's very hard to overcome. I just think a lot of kids just don't want to play it. I know that they've built some baseball fields. They do have some leagues that have started up. The RBI program is generating interest. But the bottom line, the kids I talked to said they don't want to play it. My wow. son doesn't want to play baseball. So, and I'm trying to figure that part out. But, there is a stigma about that sport in the black community.
So, Terry, let's look at this thing. Let's attack this thing from the root. So when you were growing up, Talk about the influence that baseball, because you're an African-American, talk about when you were growing up, how prevalent baseball was in your life and the community you grew up in.
That's all we did in the summer. And what we did is we had, it was like four or five neighborhoods that had enough boys to play baseball teams. So we would challenge some teams. We would go down to Pattengill Elementary School in Detroit.
Oh, I remember that school.
We'd get some bats that were, you know, weren't the best in town. And some of the balls had tape on them. We played just about every day. You know, two of the guys from our group played minor league baseball. So it was a very important part because, you know, it kept us out of the streets. We were the kids who wanted to do something, and it was very important. And we had a lot of fun. I mean, we probably played triple hitters sometimes during the summer when there was no school.
Wow.
And we would go home all dirty and nasty from the gravel and everything. We didn't play on grass. We didn't have that luxury.
Right.
But it was a great day. We loved playing. And then, you know, when it kind of got cooler, we, you know, played a little basketball and stuff. But, you know, baseball was probably our main sport at the time.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Terry Foster, an American sports columnist and radio personality in Detroit, the co-host of Valeni and Foster on WXYT-FM, The Ticket with Mike Valeni, and recently just wrote a book called 100 Things Tiger Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Now, Terry, you talked about your son. He doesn't even want to play baseball. Where has this disconnect, and where's this disconnect come from, and when did it start between the youth, the black youth, and the game of baseball? When did this thing start?
Well, I think it started when you started making money in basketball and football. Those seem to be the two sports that we wanted to gravitate towards. I mean, my kids play soccer, and I think most of that is because, you know, we're suburban kids, but we go on road trips, and, you know, a few times already this season we've seen huge AAU tournaments where the lobby is filled with, 6'5", 6'6", black kids playing basketball.
Right.
And that's what they want to do. You know, football has taken away a lot of athletes from baseball and other sports. In fact, before he died, I talked to Emmanuel Stewart, and he's convinced there's probably two or three great heavyweight boxing champions in the National Football League, last year, and probably that's still the case.
Wow.
Because he says, you know, you get those 6'7" guys, 265 pounds. He said, boy, give me a couple years of them, I turn them into champions. But
right.
They want to play these sports. They're high profile. They're ESPN sports. You're making a lot of money, which is the same for baseball. But for whatever, there's just this stigma that baseball is boring and, you know, you got to get a number of people to play. And it's not as organized in the black community as some of the other sports are.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Terry Foster, an American sports columnist and radio personality, for WXYT-FM, The Ticket with Mike Valenti. Terry, attacking this thing from the root cause, of course. Now, why do you, in your opinion, why is the decline of blacks specifically bad for the game of baseball?
Well, actually, I think, you know, if they played, it would be good to see kids play. But, you know, we don't want to be associated as being quote-unquote white. When I was a kid, we liked to play hockey, but, you know, our peers said that we were being too white and that we shouldn't do that. Well, that's happening with baseball now, which I think is absolutely ridiculous because, you know, most of the better players are Hispanic and, you know, you got them from Japan and all this kind of stuff. So,
right.
You know, whatever negative stigma that baseball has, it has to be knocked down because – to me, it makes absolutely no sense. Baseball is a sport for everybody, and everybody can play. Maybe not everybody at the highest level, but I think everybody should at least try it because, I mean, what are you doing in the summer? There's ball fields there, and hopefully some of these programs that we talked about that baseball and other organizations are involved in can, you know, really grow the sport in Detroit. So I still think it's a great sport. Yeah, it's not – you know, you're not running up and down like you are in basketball and football, but it's still a great sport, and it's a sport where, you know, you got to think and you got to, you know, it's sort of a more technical sport, and I would love to see, you know, more kids play the game.
Definitely. Now, Terry, something you just brought up, very interesting because, you know, I grew up in Detroit in the African-American community, but when I went to high school, I actually went to high school in Dearborn Heights, Michigan, at Annapolis High School, and it's funny you bring up the stigma of of being or acting white. If you're playing hockey, and even when I was in high school and growing up where I live, I mean, even if you talked a certain way, they would say, "Oh, you're talking white." I mean, where has that stigma come from, and what must be done to kind of break that and make kids feel free to play anything?
Well, that stigma, you know, came way back in the 1960s. Where we started hearing where you're not being real, because you know you had the civil rights movement, you had the Black Panthers, you had two ways in which you fought for civil rights. Now, there was the Malcolm X way, which you're a little bit more militant, and the Martin Luther King way, which is a little right. bit more conservative. So,
yeah.
You know, when you started to want to, you know, better yourself, and you talked a certain way, and you got good grades. Well, some kids, and I'm not saying all, but some kids will start to make fun of you. Oh, you want to be white? You want to, you know, mm-hmm. you know, get out of the black community? And I would always say, no, it's not that. I want to get paid,
right?
And I do want to go to school, and I do want to live in a nice house, and I do want to raise a family. But that's a stigma that you know, certain black people say, well, that's you're not being down with the cause. I never understood that either.
Right.
It's been around for a long time.
Right, exactly. And even if you look at it in the Profession Award, I know Rod Parker was actually let go by ESPN with his comments about RG3. That's another story. But, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Terry Foster, co-host of Valeni and Foster on WXYT-FM, The Ticket with Mike Valeni. Now, I got to ask you also, Mike, now, earlier this year, MLB Commissioner Bud Selig said that he is creating a 17-member diversity task force to study and address the issue of on-field participation by African Americans in Major League Baseball. Now, he stated, quote, "I really think our history is so brilliant when it comes to African Americans. You think about the late 40s and 50s, wow. And you look at that and you say to yourself, why did it not continue, and what could we do to make sure it does continue? Do you agree with the commissioner's initiative, and will it work?"
Well, yeah, I absolutely agree with his initiative, and it will work if they get to the grassroots. Now, if they're going to have just a bunch of suits, you know, talking to, you know, high-level people, and that they're just trying to, and, you know, not get to the grassroots, and it will fail. They need to talk to kids. They need to talk to community leaders. They need to ask them, and these people need to be frank and open and honest with them so they'll know what the cause is. Just building baseball fields and throwing a couple coaches out there, that's not going to solve things. You need to know what the issue is. So I think if they hit this thing grassroots and stick with it and don't give up on it, then it will work. If they kind of brush over and gloss over and say, hey, you know, we built a baseball field over here
right.
and nobody's using it, then it's not going to work.
Right. Very true. Now, what do you hope this study will find out, man?
I hope this study will find out. Well, I hope they find out that, you know, baseball does have a stigma in the black community. And then now what they need to do is erase that, and they need to erase it by getting, you know, getting black ball players at all levels, not just Major League Baseball players, but college and high school and everything, to get in there and just show that this is a sport for everybody. And this is a sport where you can earn a living. Even if you're not a great player, you can have fun with it. You know, you can play in the minors, you can become a coach. There's so many different things that you can do. But, you know, it's a fun sport. It's for everybody. That's the bottom line that they need to get to.
All right, Lindsay, we're talking with Terry Foster, co-host of Valeni and Foster on WXYT-FM, The Ticket with Mike Valeni. Terry, do you see this thing changing anytime soon in the future?
I think it's going to take a while, because when you create stereotypes, when you create mistrust, it takes a long time to eradicate that. So I don't think we're going to see, you know, huge increases in African Americans in baseball in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years. But beyond that, I think maybe you can create some change, at least start the momentum going in the different direction right now. And then maybe you'll see some different numbers in, you know, maybe 8 to 10 years, because I think it's going to take a while. Because the other thing, basketball and football are not going to go away. They're there.
Right.
And I think even when you look at boxing, you know, boxing is suffering too.
Yeah.
Because of football and basketball. So, you know, since those sports aren't going to go away, you have to try to convince people, hey, baseball is just as good as football and basketball. And that's going to be a very difficult thing to do.
Now, Terry, you work in the Detroit area. And you, like you said, you talk to these kids and you talk about their interests in other sports like baseball and boxing, of course. What is the presence like in Detroit when it comes to local youth camps that really advocate for games like baseball and boxing?
Well, I mean, they do have, you know, some of the camps, and there is some, you know, a little bit of interest. But, you know, the thing is you got to convince these kids. You know, when I was a kid, you say, hey, there's tryouts at, you know, 7 Mile or whatever, and the fields were filled. Now you've got to go out and recruit. Now you got to say, hey, this is a fun sport, and then you got to hope that they show up. So it's more about marketing. It's more about promoting the sport. It's more about telling people what's in it for me, and that's the thing that they've got to convince. Now you got to convince people rather than just open the gates up and say, come on in, we're open for you. It's a lot different now.
So will your son be playing baseball anytime soon? You going to try to convince him?
Nah, I've pretty much given up on it. He wants to play soccer, and you know, he's 11 now. He does not want to play. So I tried.
You tried. That's all you can do, right?
Yeah, that's all you can do, but he just does not want to play.
Gotcha. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Terry Foster, co-host of Valeni and Foster on WXYT-FM, The Ticket with Mike Valeni. Now, Terry, you also have a book, a recent book called 100 Things Tiger Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Where did the inspiration to write this book come from?
Well, the people at Triumph Books have a number of books like this around. They have similar books to the Red Sox, the Cubs. One of the guys there is from the Detroit area, and so they asked me to write this book, 100 Things Tiger Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. And I didn't want to make it just a history book. And I know that's what other people have done, but, you know, it is things that you should know. It is history about Ty Cobb and Ron LaFleur and the 68 Tigers and the 84 Tigers and Mickey Lolich and Willie Horton and all those good things.
But right.
The other thing I tried to do is, you know, where are the best places to watch games at Comerica Park? I wrote about the best game ever, which was, you know, I watched a game with my son, and he does watch baseball. He doesn't want to play.
Oh, he does.
But, yeah. you know, the Tigers were down 3 runs to Cleveland last year in the 10th inning. And I asked him if he wanted to leave. He said, no, let's watch this. And so they came back and won. Miguel Cabrera had a big hit. And he talked about that for like 3 or 4 days. So that's why that's the best game ever, because you get to share it with your son. So I tried to, you know, and also include, you know, where's the best bars, sports bars to watch Tiger games and things like that, and deal with some of the Tiger issues that were hot last year. So
right.
It's current, right up to date with the, you know, heading into this season. So that's the good thing about the book.
Now, Terry, something interesting. When I was doing a little bit of research on the book and reading some things, now you just hit on it. Your book talks about some of the best bars and restaurants to enjoy before and after the game. But you also talk about old Lindale AC on Michigan Avenue, a place where fans had a chance. I didn't know this. Fans actually had a chance to hang out with Tiger players, coaches, and managers. Talk about that a little bit. That's interesting.
Yeah, in the 60s and 70s, it was definitely a different era for all sports. And after a Tiger game, you might see Willie Horton and Gates Brown down there sharing a beer or having a beer and a brew. The opposing teams almost always came in there. In fact, they my mother worked there, and they had an autograph book there for me. And I had names like Mickey Mantle and Harmon Killebrew and
wow.
Tom Seaver and, you know, some of the big names. I still have that book there. But somebody stole a page out of that book, and I found out that it was Joe DiMaggio's autograph. So they got rid of that. But, you know, it was a different time where athletes mingled with you know, the everyday folks. Now when you go see an athlete out, you have to watch him behind a rope. So it looks like you're at the zoo or something like that. But
right.
it was a time when athletes worked jobs just like we did in the off season and stuff, and we got to meet them more. And Lindale AC was a great meeting place for fans and players from all over the league.
Wow, unbelievable. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Terry Foster, co-host of Valeni and Foster on WXYT-FM, The Ticket with Mike Valeni, and also just wrote a recent book called 100 Things Tiger Fans Should Know and Do before they die. So we're not trying to give much of the book away. Of course, people have to go out there and purchase it, Terry. But what are some essential things that you think all Tiger fans should know?
Well, first of all, they should know that Miguel Cabrera should have been the MVP last year.
Right.
And forget all these funny numbers that everybody was trying to throw out there. That's one thing they should know.
Right.
They should also know that it was a special circumstance for Justin Verlander 2 years ago, where I do believe he should have been the MVP in addition to the Cy Young. But they also should know who was the all-time leading winner among pitchers for the Tigers. Nobody knows that one.
No.
They'll probably tell you Mickey Lolich or Justin Verlander, which would probably be at some point.
Right.
But the all-time leader is a little-known guy named Hook Douse.
Hook Douse.
They call him Hooks because he threw a lot of curveballs, and he was around for a long time. You know, he'd get his 14, 15, 16 wins, 20 now and then, but he stuck around for a long time, and so he's all-time Tigers,
right.
You know, victories winner. And they should also know that Ty Cobb, great ball player, the dude has some issues. He was mean, and he had some legendary fights, which I chronicled many of them in the book.
Wow. Well, I would definitely be purchasing this thing, man. So how can people get this book?
Well, they could come to some of my – well, first of all, Barnes & Noble, they have it there. But go to my blog, terryfostersblog.com, and I, you know, post how you can purchase the book. I sell it directly to people. And I'll have the information on my blog, terryfostersblog.com.
There you go, folks. Go out and get the book. Terry Foster, co-host of Valeni and Foster on WXYT-FM, The Ticket with Mike Valeni. And also a recent book. You guys got to go out there and get it. You heard how to get it, 100 Things Tiger Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Now, Terry, I got to put you on the spot before we let you go. We are asking our listeners today to call in and see if they can name 5 active African-American baseball players that are not on the Detroit Tigers. Go ahead and take a stab at it, man.
That are not on the Detroit Tigers?
That are not. You cannot name a Tiger. That is against the rules, man. 5 active African-American baseball players that are not on the Detroit Tigers.
Well, we got to go with Derek Jeter. He's from
Kalamazoo.
Kalamazoo. CeCe Sabathia.
Okay, yep.
I believe he is one.
He is.
What else do we have to go?
Two down.
David Justice or Price.
Price.
Price, yeah, the pitcher.
That is one.
Three.
Okay.
I'm trying to think what else.
It's tough, isn't it?
It is tough. I'm sure. Everybody want to think about is Hispanic.
Right, exactly. That kind of throws you off, man. I was struggling with this yesterday, trust me. So right now, you got Jeter, Sabathia, Price.
No, he's from the Dominican, all this kind of stuff. So I can name the old guys.
Right.
I think I might have to.
If you want to throw in the towel, it's cool. It's cool.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm going to throw in the towel on that one. But you know, you can name a million, old players.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can. Like, it just shows you over time, I mean, how this has really become a problem and an issue. It's really declined over time, man. It's really tough.
Yeah, it is. So, it's a sad thing.
Yeah.
But, what can you do? You've got to get the numbers up and everything.
Right.
You know, one of the first names I would name would be, Torrey Hunter. Oh, how about, Curtis Granderson?
There you go.
Rolling with there. That's
right.
Because I helped him with a book, so I should know him.
There you go. And it's one big one that you're missing, man.
Big one.
I'm going to give you a hint. L.A.
Oh, Kemp.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you
go.
I just saw
a piece on him the other day, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's rough.
It is. Well, we'll give you a pass. You end up getting 5. I had to give you a hint, but we'll let you pass on that one, Terry.
Okay. I appreciate it. I need some passes now.
Well, there you have it. Terry Foster. Terry, an American sports columnist and radio personality in Detroit. The co-host of Valeni and Foster on WXYT-FM, The Ticket with Mike Valeni, and recently just wrote a book called 100 Things Tiger Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Terry, thanks so much for coming on Current Sports, man. We hope to welcome you many more times in the future.
Yes, thanks for having me, and I look forward to our occasional chats.
Thanks so much, Terry. You take care, man.
You too. Take it easy, man.
Well, boy, was that fun. All right. When we return to current sports, we will dive into our current sports section of the show. And I want to let you know that we'll be taking your calls at 140. Don't hesitate to pick up that phone and dial 517-355-9527. Can you name five active black basketball players, baseball players that are in the MLB? We want to hear from you. 517-355-9527. Let us hear your thoughts on any of today's topics. We want to hear your thoughts. Stay tuned. More current sports is next.
Well, the clock says it's time to close now.
The FBI has transformed over the last decade from an institution that fights drugs and organized crime into a bureau focused on intelligence and counterterrorism. So if that's the story of the last decade, where will the bureau go in the next decade under a new director? I'm Ari Shapiro, the future of the FBI, its leadership, mission, and challenges. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
That's Talk of the Nation coming up at 2 p.m.
Every weekday afternoon at 4, All Things Considered keeps you up to date on current events nationally and around the world. I inform you on what's happening at the state and local levels. Hi, I'm Brad Walker, your host for All Things Considered. Join me as we stay on top of the things that matter to you on All Things Considered, weekdays from 4 until 6 on AM 870 WKAR.
Good people, welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. It's now time for Current Sports, giving you all of the latest sporting news concerning the good people of Mid-Michigan. We want to hear from you. That's right, at 140-517-355-9527. Can you name five active African-American baseball players in the league right now, in the MLB, that are not Detroit Tigers? Because that'd be cheating. And I already know you guys are going to cheat on this anyway and probably grab out your laptops and Google it. You can't Google. Well, you guys are going to do it anyway. Why am I even saying that? You guys are probably Googling it as I speak. But if you think you can do it, 517-355-9527. We want to hear from you. All right, let's dig into the show now. It's current sports. The Diamond Classic. Yes, they resumed action last night. And Grand Ledge. That's right. Grand Ledge was in action. And Grand Ledge, their senior, Corbin Klaus, he led off the top of the seventh inning with a home run to break a 3-3 tie. And they now move on. The final score was 5-3. They now win a spot in the Diamond Classic semifinal. Now, with the win, the Comets are set to meet Portland in a semifinal at 5:30 p.m. That is today at Cooley Law School Stadium. Comets to meet Portland, 5:30 p.m. today at Cooley Law School Stadium. Current Sports will be there. The winner of the game will advance to Wednesday's 7 p.m. championship game. That's right, the championship game at Kircher Municipal Park, Wednesday at 7 p.m. But yeah, really, really great outing for Grand Ledge. Corbin Klaus just nailed it. And a home run, top of the seventh inning. Game was tied up, so Pat O'Keefe, they just keep on rolling. And now Grand Ledge, they still have a lot more to play for. They are hosting the Division I Regional on Saturday. I mean, so this is just, this whole week for them is really, the stakes are high for Grand Ledge, and just looking at their history, they've always answered. So also, East Lansing and Lansing Catholic in action. Lansing Catholic wins 4-3 over East Lansing. So Lansing Catholic moves on. It was a double by Austin Kraus. This one, guys, went to the 12th inning. A double by Austin Kraus and a single by Andrew Johnson in the top of the 12th. End up proving to be the deciding factor in that game, 4-3. So congrats to Lansing Catholic for moving on. So now The Cougars, they advanced to today's 7:30 p.m. semifinal, also at Cooley Law School Stadium, against Bath. So, really exciting stuff. So, Grand Ledge playing Portland, 5:30 today. And at 7:30, you will see Lansing Catholic in action against Bath at Cooley Law School Stadium. We will be at both of those. Really exciting stuff. Gotta love this time of the year. And like I said, a big week for Grand Ledge because they are hosting that Division I Regional. That is Saturday, ladies and gents. So if you got some free time, head on out there and to Cooley Law School Stadium today and enjoy some great baseball. I'll be out there. Say hi to us. Okay, let's move on. The Big Ten Pinstripe Bowl. The Pinstripe Bowl and the Big Ten have agreed to an 8-year partnership. This was announced yesterday. Now, Commissioner Jim Delaney was at Yankee Stadium for the announcement, and he appeared at a news conference also with the Yankees, Yankees owner Hal Steinbrenner, and President Randy Levine. So the Big Ten will send one of its teams to the Pinstripe Bowl from 2014 to 2021. Now the partnership will provide the Big Ten with a lot of promotion inside Yankee Stadium over the years. The Big Ten, they will have a fixed sign along the first base line and home plate rotating sign. So now this partnership really opens a lot of things for the Big Ten as far as promotional aspects go. Really a big move for them. So starting next year in 2014, a team from the Big Ten will annually play a team, an ACC team, in the Pinstripe Bowl. However, the ACC partnership, it was not a part of Monday's news conference. So the deal between the Big Ten and Yankee Stadium will also include additional future conference events held at the ballpark. So this is really exciting. The Big Ten making some big moves. The Pinstripe Bowl, of course, the current bowl cycle. This year coming up is the last year of the current bowl cycle. So it will match teams from the Big 12 and the American Athletic, formerly the Big East conferences. So this is the last year for the current Big Ten, the current bowl cycle, and then next year, you'll see the Pinstripe Bowl put into play. So that's really exciting stuff. All right, Adrian Payne, Michigan State senior forward. Adrian Payne is one of 29 players invited to try out for the 12-man USA Basketball World University Games. Now, this was announced yesterday. Payne will try out on June 24th through the 30th in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Now, this is the team that will compete July 6th through the 17th in Russia. So, really hope this is big news for Adrian. So, he'll be playing throughout the summer if he, makes a roster spot on this team. And some others, another notable guy who played on this team was former MSU forward, now playing with the Warriors, Draymond Green. Of course, he played for the World University Games team. That was 2 years ago out in China. So if Payne makes the team, he will be joining forces with a rival. Yes, that's right. Michigan coach John Beilein. Yes. Can you picture that? Adrian Payne taking orders from John Beilein over at Michigan. That's kind of funny, man. But John Beilein is an assistant to the team's head coach, Bob McKillop of Davidson. So, man, if he does make the team, that'd be imagine John Beilein going off on Adrian Payne. And, that'd be hilarious. But now, Adrian Payne is one of 7 Big Ten players invited. Guys like Will Sheehy, Purdue's A.J. Hammonds, Indiana's Yogi Ferrell, Minnesota's Andre Hollins, Iowa's Roy Devin Marble, and Aaron White. So this is kind of exciting. So I really wish the best for AP to see if he can make the team. Now the finalists will be announced on June 27th or 28th. So that is before they depart for Russia on July 1st. So we'll see what happens with AP. Big news for him. All right. Le'Veon Bell has agreed to a 4-year deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers. The second-round pick was signed yesterday, leaving the Steelers with 3 of their 9 2013 draft picks unsigned. So Le'Veon Bell, dollar bill, y'all, he inks a deal. And he will officially be playing with the Pittsburgh Steelers now. Now, he ran for 3,346 yards and 33 touchdowns during his career at Michigan State. And he will have to beat out Jonathan Dwyer and Isaac Redman for playing time as a rookie. So, I mean, it just should help, though, because, I mean, the Steelers have always been known for that big type of back, a back who really doesn't gain a lot of yardage but does move the chains. So, it should help this cause because the Steelers, they have talked him up as a three-down back thanks to his ability to, he can pass block, he can catch the ball. I mean, he's a workhorse. So, offensive coordinator Todd Haley credits Bell with having physical traits similar to that of Eddie George. Remember Eddie George back in the day with the Tennessee Titans? He used to play with Steve McNair. Eddie George was a great, great ball player. I believe a former Heisman Trophy winner. And ESPN's John Clayton. God, I love John Clayton, man. He's a great guy. John Clayton has known that the Steelers believe they have the next version of Matt Forte and Le'Veon Bell. So, Le'Veon Bell really making a lot of noise. A lot of good signs for him. All right, to Game 7 last night. The Heat and Pacers. LeBron James scored 32 points and grabbed 8 rebounds. And Dwayne Wade matched his postseason high, finally. 21 points for Dwayne. And the Heat ran away from the Indiana Pacers 99-76. I mean, all the hype on this game, and it ended up being a blowout. I don't know about you, but I was pretty disappointed watching that game, man. I was just sitting there like, it actually got boring at one point because the Heat were just too good. I flipped channels to Love and Hip Hop in Atlanta. Yes, I did. I did it. I flipped channels to watch a little girly show for about 2 seconds to see it was some drama. Anyway, 99-76, Game 7. The Heat now move on to play the Spurs. Game 1 will be on Thursday. So Miami led by as many as 28 points. So this is the Heat's third straight year making it to the NBA Finals. Ray Allen, I said yesterday, LeBron needed some help, and he definitely got it. Of course, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh had a solid game. Ray Allen added 10 points for Miami. So Miami now earns a 78th victory of the season. This matches the 11th best single season total in NBA history. For the Pacers, Roy Hibbert really struggled. They really were coming at him the entire game. The first time that the Heat, I was looking at one point, the Heat actually had more points in the paint than the Pacers. That's the first time that's happened all series. But Roy Hibbert, Indiana's big man, scored 18 points, 14 from David West, 13 from George Hillen, and 10 from Lance Stephenson. And David West, a guy who's been so consistent throughout the year for the Pacers, he says that he's still staying with this team, and he feels as though they have a bright, bright future.
Yeah, you know, that's something I'll sit down and discuss. But you know, this is my group. These are my guys, and I can't see myself going anywhere else. You know, we're the second best team in the Eastern Conference. You know, one of the top four teams in the league, in my estimation, based on this year. And this group is a solid group. It gives me as an individual, the best chance to accomplish the goals that I have left in terms of my future, and that's competing at this stage of the game every single year from here on out.
So that was David West, Indiana's big man, one of Indiana's big men, weighing in on the future of the Pacers. By halftime, it was 52-37, just not even close. James had 18 points at that point, and Bosh and Wade combined for 17 at that point. So Miami moves on. No surprise for me. I didn't think it was going to be a blowout, though. That was really surprising on that end. Just to get away from the game, David Beckham was there. He is deciding whether he wants to bring a Major League Soccer team to Miami. That's the reason why he was there. David Beckham, of course, retiring. He was seated next to the Heat's bench for the second straight game. And Justin Bieber was there. Yes, Bieber Fever was there. Flo Rida. Now, this is a funny story. Flo Rida was there with his manager. And it's funny because there was a point in the game where Norris Cole and Indiana's Jeff Pendergraft, they got into it, and Pendergraft got ejected. Flo Rida's manager gets into it with Jeff Pendergraft. And you know what? The personnel who was there at the game, they didn't throw, well, the rest didn't throw him out the game or anything like that. Flo Rida actually threw his manager out of the game. Can you believe that? Oh, man, it was pretty funny. Pretty funny stuff. Flo Rida said, hey, man, you know, you're getting a little too rowdy. You got to go to the car. So that was more exciting than the game, to tell you the truth. So anyway, the Heat move on. Thursday, game one of the NBA Finals. Exciting stuff.
Crosby with a bouncing puck, gave it away. Here's Brad Marchand streaking in, scores! Edberg, penalty's almost over. Hort on his backhand, Orpik's back on. Pass up the middle, Krug stopped it, shot it, stopped, they score! Scooped into their own net by the Penguins, and it's 2-0 for Boston.
Yes, the Boston Bruins routed Pittsburgh 6-1 in game two of the Eastern Conference Finals last night to take a 2-0 lead. You're killing me, Pittsburgh. I had you winning this thing. No one comes down from 2-0 to win a series. Anyway, Sid the Kid Crosby, I mean, he's been held scoreless for the second straight contest to send the NHL's highest scoring team slouching to Boston for game three on Wednesday. Season on the line. So, man, I really don't know what's going on with the Penguins, man. Sid the Kid can't get anything going. So if you look at this, I mean, like I said, no one comes, and when it comes to hockey, no one comes back from 2-0 in the conference finals to advance. I mean, the previous 16 teams to go up 2-0 in the conference finals have advanced to Stanley Cup finals. The Penguins managed to escape a 2-0 hole against the Bruins. This is way back in 91. Come on, man. This never happened. So the Bruins allow 5 goals in a game only 3 times all season. They've been playing great. The Penguins haven't even come close to really giving the Bruins any type of challenge. So I'll give you an update on that. All right, moving on. Miguel Cabrera, he was named the AL Player of the Month. No surprise there. Cabrera voted by the American. He was voted as the American League Player of the Month. That was yesterday for the 3rd time in his career. It's the 3rd time he's received the honor. He hit a redonkulous .379 with 12 home runs. 33 RBIs, 23 runs scored, and 15 walks in 20 games last month. Unbelievable. The guy is just .379 coming into this month. That's 44 for 116. That's just unbelievable. So no surprise that he's the AL Player of the Month. Now, he's the first player in Major League history to enter June with a .40-plus batting average and at least 15 homers and 60 RBIs. So he is just really tearing it up. Now, he beat out Los Angeles outfielder Mike Trout, who's a young guy who's really been tearing it up as well. He beat out Baltimore first baseman Chris Davis, who Chris actually previously won in July of 2008 and August of 2012. So congrats to Miguel Cabrera. He's really just tearing it up, man. Some sad news in sports. Deacon Jones dies. For those of you who don't know who Deacon Jones is, he was a Hall of Fame defensive end who really created the term sack, to tell you the truth. I mean, he used to knock down quarterbacks left and right. Deacon Jones, he was 74 years old. Because sacks didn't become an official statistic until around 1982, Jones's total when it comes to sacks is really uncertain. I'm sure it will be up there. So now, if you remember, Jones was the leader of the Rams' Fearsome Foursome. I'm sure you guys heard of that name. Fearsome Foursome from 1961 to 1971. Then he played for San Diego for 2 seasons before finishing his career with the Washington Redskins back in 74. Now, George Allen, who coached the Fearsome Foursome, called Jones, quote, the greatest defensive end of modern football. Yes, he was that good, guys. And you guys may know Jones from TV as well, because he had several acting roles throughout his career. He was a guest on Bewitched. I don't know if you guys remember that show back in the day. I remember he used to come on Nick at Night. The Brady Bunch, of course. Yes, Jones was a guest on that show. The Odd Couple. And also appeared in the 1978 Warren Beatty film entitled Heaven Can Wait. So he was an actor, Deacon Jones. He was a great, one of the greatest defensive ends in the history of football. He dies of natural causes at 74. Okay, guys. Roger Mayweather. Yes, Floyd Mayweather's kin, of course. 36, Floyd Mayweather will step into the ring against the unbeaten Alvarez on September 14th at MGM Grand Casino in Las Vegas. Now, Roger decided to, you know, of course, Roger's is Floyd's dad. He decided to kind of weigh in on Saul Alvarez. Now, so there's been a lot of hype about Saul Alvarez. He's a very good fighter, 22, one of the most popular boxer coming out of Mexico, knocking everybody out left and right. People call him a beast, but Roger Mayweather thinks differently.
He's all right. He ain't no beast like what they say he is.
Yeah. Yeah. He's no beast. I called Roger Floyd's father. That's his uncle. Excuse me. So he says, quote, "You cannot call yourself the best fighter in the world if you not take the risk. That's what boxing is about. In order to prove you are the best, then you have to take the risk. Alvarez ain't no beast like they say he is. He's kind of an aggressive guy, but he tries to box too." So, really, this is how boxing goes. You build up the hype. That's basically what Roger's doing here. But I really think, when you look at this fight, I'm glad Floyd Mayweather took it, because I believe this Alvarez kid is the real deal, and I think he will be Mayweather's biggest challenge that he's had in quite some time. And he does have a chance at beating him. But Floyd Mayweather, like I said, he has arguably one of the greatest defensive fighters in boxing history. This will be a good one. If it's any Floyd Mayweather fight I'll pay for, I may pay to watch this one. So, last but not least, Mookie Blaylock, former NBA All-Star. He has been charged with vehicular homicide. This was arising from a head-on crash in suburban Atlanta. Blaylock, 46 years old, he's also charged with driving on a suspended license and failure to maintain his lane in the Friday crash. Now, he was driving an SUV that crossed the center line of Terra Boulevard. It's about 20 miles or so south of downtown Atlanta, and he struck a van and 43-year-old Monica Murphy, a really horrific crash. She died hours later. Her husband, who was also in the van, he was treated and released at a hospital. So, really, really tragic accident here. Police are working to determine the cause of the crash, and that alcohol doesn't appear to be a factor. So, authorities are working to gather documents on Blaylock's medical history and all that sort of stuff. But Mookie Blaylock, former NBA All-Star involved in a fatal crash, he was fine, but he's being charged with vehicular homicide. You hate hearing stories like that. All right, ladies and gents, well, we have to move on to our last segment of Current Sports. We're going to take your calls about any of the topics discussed today. 517-355-9527. Can you name five active African-American baseball players in the game today that are not on the Tigers? Can you do it? We want to get your thoughts on that. Hit us up on Facebook.com/CurrentSports, or even tweet me a question, Al Martin WKR. I want to hear what's on your mind. Stick around. More Current Sports is next.
On the next Fresh Air, the widening war in Syria. The leader of the Lebanese political and military group Hezbollah has declared his support of the Syrian president against the rebels. And the war is spreading into Lebanon. Fighters from other countries are coming to Syria. We'll talk with Robert Malley, the International Crisis Group's program director for the Middle East and North Africa. Join us.
That's Fresh Air coming up at 3 o'clock.
I'm WKAR's Mark Bayshore. 7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat. From government to the arts, sports to education, from business to travel, it's all got a home. It's Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 FM and at noon on AM 870 WKAR.
Hey! Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm Al Martin. It's that time where we hear from you. That's right. Give us a call at 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. We'll talk about anything that's on your mind. But in the meantime, guess what? It's Tuesday. So you know what that means, right? It's Top 5 Tuesdays. That's right. So I'm now joined by my production assistants, Alex Sharg and Matt Lutke, as we give our top five baseball movies of all time. This should be a fun one, guys. Welcome. How you guys doing?
Good. Glad to be here.
All right. So top five baseball movies. Who wants to go first? Matt.
Apparently
Matt,
I'm going first. All right. We'll do this quickly. Number five, bit of a revolving door. It was between Fever Pitch and A League of Their Own. Now, Fever Pitch, not a great movie, but while they made it, the Red Sox actually broke the curse of the Bambino and won the World Series, so that's got to count for something. I remember Jimmy Fallon being on the field, and before he was America's sweetheart, he took a lot of flack for that, so somehow he got on the field while the Red Sox won the World Series. But A League of Their Own, no crying in baseball. Tom Hanks's best, freak out until he met a volleyball named Wilson. So that's how that gets number five. Right. Number four, Rookie of the Year.
Great movie.
You've got Gary Busey, who is still on planet Earth at the time. Daniel Stern, who is like the, between Home Alone and Home Alone 2, he's like, as a kid, he was one of my favorite physical actors.
Right.
Number three, we're going to go the original Bad News Bears with Walter Matthau as Morris Buttermaker. That's a classic.
Classic.
Number two, Field of Dreams. I could only use one Costner movie. So sorry, yeah. Bull Durham. Sorry for the love of the game. Field of Dreams gets there, and mostly because of the presence of James Earl Jones, who happens to be in the number one slot in The Sandlot as well. So if you want to make a great baseball movie, just get Darth Vader.
That's all you need.
Ticket to the top.
That's a very good list. I have The Sandlot, too, as my top. We'll get to me in a second. But I think we got a call, guys. Carl is on line one. How you doing, Carl?
Hey, how you doing, Al?
Pretty good.
Hey, what do you think about the Miami Heat series?
Well, I tell you what, Carl, when you look at the Miami Heat series, it was no surprise to me. I guess we can chat about this a little bit. For me, it wasn't a surprise. I didn't see any way possible the way that the Miami Heat could lose a Game 7 at home to the Pacers. I just couldn't see it. I mean, LeBron James did not let that happen. You're at home. They play the best at home. And all you needed was just get some kind of production from someone other than LeBron James. And they got that from about three guys. Chris Bosh showed up finally. Dwayne Wade showed up from the very beginning of the game. And, and then Ray Allen was hitting threes left and right. So, I mean, that's three guys other than LeBron James.
What I'm wondering is why did Dwayne Wade and even Roy Hibbert and David West come out to say that Dwayne Wade was not trying the first six games?
I think he said that because – and I've heard this from my uncle and my stepdad said the same thing. They just didn't fit. Dwayne Wade looked out of it, guys.
Yeah.
The entire series.
Right,
let's be honest here. He looked totally out of it. But when I think he was getting a lot of flack about it. I'm wondering why he wasn't that aggressive in those first six games, because he could have been more aggressive in those first six games. I understand you got an injury, but he just didn't show up, guys. So I think LeBron calling him out, that woke him up. He could have been doing that the first six games. So I kind of agree with the comments, to tell you the truth.
Well, he had time to rest as well, though, Al.
Yeah.
Yeah, the big difference, it just seemed like he was attacking the basket, because in the first six games he's just taking terrible 20-footers and missing more than he's making, but last night he was getting into the paint more or less at will. It seemed like they didn't really care that Hibbert was there. They were determined to get him in foul trouble, and it's like, where was this the last three games of the series? It was odd, to say the least.
It was. Hey, Carl, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate that, bud. All right. Well, I think we have another caller. Is this Tom?
Yes, it is.
What's up, Tom? How you doing, man? Tom is calling every day. My man, what's up?
Doing pretty good. I was going to call about the Miami Heat, but I heard a top five list, and that's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
You left off Angels in outfield. That's a problem.
Oh, Angels in outfield is a great. I didn't have that on my list, guys.
Hey, Tom, we also have two more lists to go.
We got two more lists.
We didn't want too much overlap.
That's true. Yeah, we didn't want too much overlap. Matt, we tried to just differentiate it between us three. We didn't want to copy each other, but I feel Angels in outfield is a classic,
though. It's a great movie.
Great.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, great movie.
Great movie.
Can't go wrong with Danny Glover, too.
Tom, all right, Tom, since you, what is your top five?
You know what? I won't overlap either. It's an outfield. Definitely number one. Satellite's probably number two.
There it is.
Okay.
Let's see.
Stump.
That's all I could. Wait, there's a movie with Wesley Snipes and Robert De Niro. I think it's The Fan.
I've never seen it. The Fan?
The Fan.
I've never heard of that one. Let me write that down. I have to check that out. Okay. Well,
I guess that's the top three, but that's all I got.
It's a solid three.
It's a solid three.
Outfield's number one. Number one.
Solid three. All right. I feel you. All right. Well, thanks, Tom. We appreciate the call, man. Okay. All right. So we got two more left. Alex, who you got, man? Top five.
All right. My top five, in honor of the late Bernie Mac, got to go with Mr. 3000.
Mr. 3000.
And the thing about that is, how often do you see, besides with basketball and even hockey, you see players coming back from retirement or accomplishing a big milestone, still thinking they can play. In baseball, I just think that's something, in terms of age, you look at Nolan Ryan, who pitched pretty late, but that's just something you don't see. And then with Bernie Mac, I mean, that guy's just been an American comedy icon.
Oh, with that, and rest in peace, Bernie Mac. I still can't believe he's gone.
Right.
Unbelievable, man. Good.
Number four for me, Moneyball with Brad Pitt. Another thing about that movie, the Carlos Pena trade, as you guys remember, years ago. It captures an unusual side of baseball. So I thought that was a pretty good one to include. Number three, I put The Rookie. I think one of you may have it. We'll hear from Al in a second with Dennis Quaid. Number two, The Natural. Just because, guys, it's just an American pastime. I mean, this is a movie and novel that's been talked about in English classes across the country. So
right.
I just think the incorporation of that with schools is pretty good. Number one, it's probably going to be a little bit of a surprise for many. But Little Big League is my number one movie.
That's number one.
John Ashton from Beverly Hills Cop, Timothy Busfield from who plays this guy named Lou Collins from Revenge of the Nerds, Dennis Farina, if you guys remember him from Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, I do remember him from Saving Private Ryan.
This movie is just an idealistic dream for many kids growing up. How can you own a Major League Baseball team and be the general manager at the same time?
Yeah.
And it's just a funny movie. Just
it
fun
is
to
fun.
Watch.
Wow, that's your number one.
Number
wow.
one, man.
That surprised me. Dig that. Well, all right. For me, and no, I didn't even put these one through five because these are just my five favorite movies. So I didn't list them in any particular order. But The Natural, that's a classic,
yeah,
guys.
Definitely.
Willie Mays Hayes in Major League. Come on now. Wesley Snipes playing Willie Mays Hayes. Hilarious. Major League is a classic. The Sandlot. Okay, well, I will say The Sandlot is my number one. I have to go with The Sandlot because, I mean, that's something that I grew up on. It was something of my childhood. I'll never forget that movie. All right, moving on. The Rookie, classic. And some, you know, I wasn't going to put this on my list until, and I probably wouldn't even have thought about this movie until it was yesterday after our show, and we're sitting down, and Matt said Hardball. And I forgot about this movie totally. It's with Keanu Reeves, and it actually hits right on this subject of blacks playing baseball because Keanu Reeves gets this baseball team together, and they're these kids, you know, from this urban area, grew up in the projects, and he gets this team together, and they end up going all the way. It's great. So that movie really hits on the topic we're talking about grabbing the youth when they're young and playing baseball. But I remember going to the movie and seeing this movie with my mom, and it's a really I can admit this because I'm a grown man now, but I was young and I actually cried on one part of the movie. I did.
Oh, no shame in that.
It was just one little. I cried on Lion King when I was little too, man. So I cried on a lot of movies when I was little, man. Not no more. I'm a grown man now. All right, we're not no crying.
Hey, maybe another top five could be
tear
five
jerkers?
Movies that you've cried. Yeah, tear jerkers.
Yeah, we could do that. We'll do that around Valentine's Day. Let's do that.
I like that.
All right. Well, that was truly a great list. But yeah, before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Of course, Alex Sharg and Matt Lufke, our production assistants, my intern Mike Corey, along with my engineer Aaron Young. Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to Terry Foster. Really thanks, Terry. Co-host of Eleni and Foster on WXTY-FM, The Ticket, for weighing in on the lack of African Americans in baseball. Thanks for tuning in, folks. Same time, same place tomorrow. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. Be easy, people.